How do you measure the value of a person's life? When all is said and done and time has come and gone, how do you measure the value of a life? Some would say you measure a life by the fame that a person has achieved. The more people who recognize your face and your name, the more valuable your life has been. Some would measure the value of their life by the accomplishments they've attained. If they set goals for their lives, when they set out at the very beginning and by the conclusion they've reached and exceeded those goals, then that's the measure of a life. Some would measure a person's life by the possessions they acquired. And in these days, you might even measure them by the number of people who followed them on Twitter. There are a lot of ways to measure a person's life. But the Bible says this: none of those things can truly measure the value of a life. But it also tells us there is a way to measure the contribution you've made between the day you were born and the day that you leave this planet. This way will determine whether your life was wasted or spent or invested. How do you measure your life? Well, let me give you a simple question. And that question will not only measure what your life is worth even right now, it will measure whether you're on the right direction at this point. Are you ready? Here's the question. What is my legacy? What is my legacy? When time has come and gone and my life has begun and ended, what is it that I've left behind myself? Not how much can I leave in a bank, not what can I give that will be held in a hand, not what will I pass on of houses and land. I mean, what will I leave that has been planted in the lives of the people who knew me and loved me? What is my legacy? Over the last couple of months, I've been preaching messages from two particular verses in the first chapter of 2 Peter. And we have learned some things about how you cultivate a spiritual legacy. That God has called us to live a life that is built on a foundation of faith. That we are to exercise diligence in building our spiritual lives. And week by week, the Bible has led us to an in-depth look at how you build on that foundation of faith. Qualities of virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Understand something. And I haven't preached those messages so you could learn how to be a good person. I haven't even preached those messages so you could learn how to be a godly person. I've preached those messages so you could learn how to cultivate a spiritual legacy. Because here's the truth: if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you're a follower of His, then the truth is, it's not about you. It's about the people who come behind you. It's not about you. It's about living your life in such a way, and investing your time in such a way, and committing your life to Christ in such a way that when your time comes and when you leave the stage of this world, you have left a legacy behind in the lives of the people who follow you, who will leave that legacy behind in the lives of the people who follow them. I want your life, I want my life to count for more than the days and years we spend on planet Earth. This is my prayer for you and for me this morning. I want you to know Jesus. I'm not talking about know about Jesus. I want you to know Jesus in the depth of who you are, as the most important person in your life, as the Savior who loved you and gave Himself for you. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to live for Jesus. I want it to be a daily intention that you begin your morning and end your evening by asking the question, have I lived to bring honor to the one who saved me? I want you to pass on a faith in Jesus that will be even stronger in the lives of those you leave behind. Years ago, in the early years of my life, I used to always say to myself, my goal in life is to be a great Christian. I want to be a great Christian. Not in the ways that the world acclaims person, but deep inside where you really know whether you've been living for Jesus Christ. I used to say, I want to be a great Christian. And then I had children, and my prayer changed. My prayer became, I want to be the father of great Christians. You know what I mean? I want to be the father of great children. I want to see my kids go to where I am, and I want to walk with them to the end of my dock, and I want to wave as they sail off into the distance, following Christ in places I never went. You know what you call that? You call that legacy. I want the people who knew me best and loved me most to be most influenced for Christ than any other way. And that's the prayer of all of our hearts as believers. That's why it was so important that we shared those Bibles with the children that were here today and those who are going to be downstairs. But let me tell you something, and you all know this. We shared those Bibles with those children for you as parents to build it into their lives, to build that faith into their lives, to help them know and follow the Savior. Legacy is about living for what Christ is all about. It's about taking what we have been given and passing it on. That's the way it's always been. Jesus walked by this motley crowd of people in various kinds of places, and he said to them, "Follow me." And they got up and went. And he poured his life into those 12 apostles who followed him. At the end of it all, Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep." And Peter obeyed. The one who heard from his master, "Feed my sheep," is the one who said to us, "Build a legacy. Build a legacy of faith." And in the upper room, Christ offered them the bread and the cup. And he said to them, "Do this in remembrance of me until I return." Keep passing on the legacy until I come back for my own. And every time we take the Lord's Supper, it's like singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Every time we take the Lord's Supper, if you grew up in church, you remember as a child, first watching what was going on and then getting your chance to take part in what was going on. And it brings back the names and the faces of people whose lives touched your own. And every time we take the Lord's Supper, we think not only about them, we think about those people who came and founded this nation, because this nation was founded by people of faith who were looking for that place where they could worship God in a free fashion. And as we take the Lord's Supper, they took the Lord's Supper. And the centuries roll back, and the centuries roll back, and the centuries roll back until we get back to the upper room. And all of those generations that have passed since the coming and the resurrection of Christ, all of those centuries have gone by, God's people have taken it seriously. Pass on a legacy of faith. If you don't give your children anything else, give them faith. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul begins his description of the Lord's Supper in a very critical way. This is what he said. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." What is he saying? It came to me, I passed it on. It came to me and I delivered it. I received it and I gave it away. We're living today in spiritually uncertain times. Average people, even a lot of Christians, are not sure what they believe anymore. Many are embracing a watered-down faith in God that is not satisfying or transforming because it never gets to Jesus. Convictions that we once thought were rock solid are tossed aside at a moment's notice. How do we turn the tide? How do we bring spiritual renewal to our land, our churches, and our lives? The answer is very simple. I receive it, I pass it on. I receive it, and I pass it on. We receive the gospel truth, we live the gospel truth, and we pass the gospel truth on. And that truth becomes our legacy. It's what the Bible commands us to do. In Psalm 145:4, the Bible says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." And this morning, I want to invite every believer present to join me at the presence of the Lord's Supper. Receive what the cup and the bread symbolize. That his body was broken and his blood was shed so that you can be forgiven of your sin. It's a reminder that everybody needs Jesus. And every soul can find salvation at the cross. And it reminds us that everything we do is about Jesus. As we pass the place filled with bread and as we pass the cup, we remember that we are called to pass on the good news to the people around us. As we partake of them all together, we remember that we are called to be the people of God who live and love and worship together. And as we remember the Lord's death until he comes, we remember that believers have been taking the Lord's Supper since the upper room. And we will pass on this observance to the ones who come behind us. As you get ready to come to this table, as you prepare your heart to sharing communion, remember this: the Lord's Supper is our direct connection to the heart of Jesus Christ. It takes us back to him. If you're a believer today, I invite you to join me at the table of the Lord. His body broken for you. His blood spilled for you. His love yours to share. It is your legacy. Will you join me at the table? Let me invite our deacons to come to prepare to serve the Lord's Supper. Father, here at your table, we are grateful that life is as filled with unexpected joys as sorrows. We know that we will always have problems because that is life. But we also know that we will always have you, and that is life abundant. As we worship you through the observance of the Lord's Supper, may we be surprised by joy, the joy of your grace, the joy of your presence, the joy of your love. In the supper, we see the reflection of your face, and we feel the nearness of you in this holy place as your glory rests on us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Peter wrote and said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the bread that is the symbol of the broken body of Christ. We pray, Lord, that as we share it together, that we may remember, that we may be a part of what you are doing. And then, Father, that we may pass on a legacy that is a symbol in this supper. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.